Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, just before we move on, I want to go back to the start of the programme because we asked the Department of Finance for a statement in relation to the reports this morning that the implementation of the residential zoned land tax will be delayed. They say, as with all tax heads, that tax is kept under review as part of the annual budget and finance bill cycle, and the Department of Finance regularly engages with both the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage and the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine on the implementation of the RZLT. So that doesn't tell us very much. But anyway, we'll bring that to you because they sent it in to us. Now, a very important question. Did you ever wake up one morning in particular that you can remember and feel a little bit older? Well, you might have gone through a period of rapid ageing overnight because new research shows that ageing is not a slow and steady process, but instead it happens in accelerated bursts. There's one at around the age of 44 and then there's another one at 60. Well, to discuss this, I'm joined by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College Dublin. Luke, lovely to have you with us.
Hi Claire, good morning.
So what happens? We wake up one morning and we feel decrepit.
Isn't it strange?
Falling apart.
Unexpected. Yeah, you turn 44 and there's two bursts of ageing basically. We thought it was gradual, you get older day by day, but it turns out there's two bursts of accelerated ageing, one
gradual,
in your mid-40s.
The gradual theory seems logical.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. Visually we can see this happen, can't we? But no, this study from Stanford, very elaborate study by the way, very sophisticated, have identified two bursts of ageing. One when you're 44. I don't think it's quite overnight, but certainly it accelerates. And then again when you turn 60. Now I turn 60 a few weeks ago, by the way. So I'm suddenly, oh God, I'm accelerating in my ageing now. So it's a really sort of a detailed analysis of the ageing process.
And different things happen at those ages or in or about those ages. Is that right?
They do. Yeah, it's a remarkable study. They've measured 135,000 biochemicals in your body. Can you imagine that number were assessed? And that's a very elaborate thing to do, obviously. And I'm a biochemist by training. Can you imagine 135,000 proteins and DNA and all kinds of things? And lo and behold, bursts of them were going up when you turn 44, that link into the ageing process. So for example, heart disease, there's a signal in your mid-40s that that's rapidly happening and there's a risk of heart disease in your mid-40s anyway. When you turn 60, kidney ageing seems to be happening. But both ages, the skin and muscle age more quickly in your mid-40s. And when you turn 60,
Luke,
isn't
this
it?
This is shocking.
I know. Yeah. So you might wake up with a few more wrinkles. It's one idea, you know, that the ageing of the skin seems to go in a burst once in your mid-40s and once when you turn 60.
Right. So okay. Great news. Yeah. So what can we use this study for? So if we're looking at heart health in our 40s, kidney health in our 60s, does it give us little clues as to what we should be up to?
It does. It's a move towards much more detailed analysis of our bodies, really. Now, at the moment, you can measure cholesterol anyway as a risk factor in heart disease. This is much more elaborate. Can you imagine 135,000 things changing? And again, you get much more detail, much more information. You've got to use artificial intelligence almost to assess this. And what they're saying is better diagnosis, prevention might be possible if you know what's going wrong at these two ages is the ultimate outcome from this. But for the moment, it's just a scientifically wonderful analysis of our bodies at these ageing
process. Yeah, and does it change much in terms of the science of ageing and how people like you would look at it because you have these two bursts now?
Yes, so in my lab now, for instance, when you turn 60, your immune system seems to age quickly, and that's extremely important for all kinds of reasons. Now, we know as we age, our immune systems are less effective, hence, you know, with COVID, for instance, is a good example, older people are more at risk because their immune systems are less effective. And lo and behold, they see a very clear signature of immune dysregulation when you turn 60, a burst in that, if you like. Now, that's very useful to us because we can say what part of the immune system is changing. And of course, ultimately, you could target that and slow it down. That's the kind of ultimate output from this. If you know what's changing, you might be able to correct it. And maybe ultimately, this information could be very useful.
Eventually, with medicine and scientific developments.
Yeah, precisely.
But for normal human beings walking the earth today, if we know that our heart disease risk is increasing in our 40s, kidneys may be a little bit vulnerable at 60, immune system, what can we do to mitigate against that?
Well, really good. It's the muscles. The muscles are aging in your mid-40s and when you're past 60. Your muscles age more quickly then. Exercise as ever. Now, we know this already, of course. Exercise is your friend, absolutely. It can ward off this change. Mm-hmm. And it's never too late to exercise, is what this tells us. Even if you're in your mid-40s, you haven't done much, you know, you're aging more quickly. Now is the time time to correct that and take off exercise.
Weight-bearing exercise, exactly. In particular, yeah. Because if we're talking about muscle health, that's what's going to get you the wins.
And aerobic for your heart as well. So yet again, it emphasises how important this exercise is for us. It tells us even more about that process is one thing, you know. And then the second thing is your mental agility, because when you turn 60, of course, the risk of Alzheimer's goes up. And again, the markers are in this study. You can see brain changes happening when you turn 60 again. Again, keep your brain muscle agile, you know, mm-hmm. which is things like do your crossword, socialise, really important.
Learn a new language.
Learn all those sort of new musical instruments, you know. So yet again, it tells us we can stave off these things, hopefully, by changing our behaviour.
Well, a listener wants to know, is there any differentiation between men and women in their mid-40s and their 60s?
There is. Now, when they saw this initially, they thought it was to do with the menopause, because maybe women in their mid-40s, you would see a change there, the perimenopause more than the menopause. Mm-hmm. And they thought that initially, and there's a kind of a hint of that, but men is the same. The same clusters of things changing are in the men as in the women.
The male menopause.
The evidence for maybe evidence for the male menopause, but it can't be put down to something like a perimenopausal situation.
Right. And then the change at around the 60 mark then is the same for men and women.
Same. The overlap is remarkable, actually. And they were quite struck by this. They thought there might be a sex difference, as we call it here, between men and women. Mm-hmm. But if you're a man or a woman, the clock is ticking, basically, you know, and it speeds up in your mid-40s and speeds up when you're past 60, no matter whether you're a man or a woman.
So all of this then feeds into this race, really, to develop a way for us to live healthier. We are living longer lives, but we want to have the healthier, longer life, right?
It's called health span more than lifespan. Mm. So at the moment, Ireland, people don't realise this, we have the best lifespan for males in Europe. Men are living longer in Ireland than other European countries.
Isn't that extraordinary?
Women are sort of second or third for women, but very close to the top of the table for our lifespan.
But women live longer anyway, don't they?
They do slightly longer anyway on average, yeah. But it's not just about lifespan. You want to have health span. Stay healthy till you're 90. Wouldn't that be tremendous?
That's the key, isn't it?
That's what it's all about, really. We've cracked this business of longevity, kind of, through things like vaccines, antibiotics and so on. But then people are getting various diseases as they age. If we can now slow down that process, you'll live to a healthy, ripe old age.
So all of this feeds into that.
Absolutely, very informative for that.
Now, listen, I want to ask you about this separate news we've had from the World Health Organization about Mpox, and they've said that it represents a global health emergency for the second time now in 2 years. Is it something that we need to be concerned about?
It's something to keep an eye on for definite. And when the World Health Organization, it's the highest level they've issued, by the way, of a warning here. It's international for a start as well. So they're saying, look, there's something to watch here and keep a very close eye on it. The main reason is to increase resources, by the way, because it's in Africa. They need more. There's a vaccine for Mpox, which is great, by the way. So it's not like COVID was. So they want more vaccines into Africa, better diagnosis and better treatment for patients. That's one reason why they've issued this emergency mm-hmm. alert. But it's spreading. There's a case in Sweden. And what's also of concern is it's a variant on the previous one that seems a bit more dangerous. It's called Clade 1B, and that seems to have a higher mortality rate. So that they watch that closely if it's changed and could be slightly more dangerous than in 2022. That's another reason why they've alerted us to this Mpox being there. I mean, over 500 people have died. There's been 15,600 cases in Africa. 96% of cases are in the Congo. But still, it's in 12 other countries and it seems to be spreading. So hence the WHO issue.
And it's an awful condition, and people might have seen the pictures on television, and I saw that the youngest patient was a 6-week-old baby.
That's the concern. Children are getting it, actually. Yeah, children. And that wasn't the case with the last one as much. They've noticed children are picking up the infection more. Is that because the virus has changed? That's a concern. It's a horrible rash. It's in the smallpox family of viruses, by the way. Mm-hmm. Where smallpox was a scourge through all of human history until the vaccine was discovered. Nasty skin rash with this one. If you're healthy and generally okay, you get over it after 3 or 4 weeks. The trouble is if you're malnourished, or you have HIV in Africa, for instance, then it gets really severe. So again, it's not as dangerous to us as it will be to African countries at the moment.
Right, and it's skin-to-skin contact.
Anybody can catch it. You can catch it off bedding even. That's been...
Really?
Skin is bits of crusty skin in the bedding. You can pick it up off that, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's mainly direct skin-to-skin contact is the main way you catch it.
All right, Luke, we'll leave it there. Lovely to talk to you as always. That's Professor Luke O'Neill. We'll go to the newsroom now and to Ailish Sheehy.